Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the second book of Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you over you today?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." And Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?" So he said, answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." And Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan." But he, meaning Elisha, said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. And it was divided this way and that. So the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard saying, a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, whose display of his glory is a foretaste of heaven's glory, for all of us believers, dear fellow redeemed. It's less than 2 months away. Tax day, that is, April 15th. I'm sure most all of you know the old saying, the only thing sure in life is death and taxes. And people try to get away from both of them. We heard last Sunday that people try to ignore death. They don't want to think about death. They think maybe they can escape it. And there probably are some who cheat Uncle Sam out of his fair share of taxes. But no one can cheat death. Death comes to all people because of sin. There is no escape. In fact, in the history of this world, in all 6,000 years of recorded history, only two people that we know of left this earth into heaven without first dying. Enoch, the father of Methuselah, was 365 years old, and we're told in Genesis 5:24, the Lord took him, and he was no more. The other one was a man we just heard this morning in our sermon text, that is the prophet Elijah. This morning we tie in the glorious appearance of Christ's transfiguration and the glorious ascension of Elijah into heaven. We're confronted with two very special truths, which we've combined under one theme: the glory of a believer's life. First, it's glorious when it's spent serving the Lord. But second, it's even more glorious when it ends in eternal life in heaven. Elijah was the greatest prophet in the Old Testament after Moses, but his ministry was not an easy one. He served under the most idolatrous king in the history of Israel. In fact, this is what's said about Ahab in 1 Corinthians 16. "Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. Together with his wicked wife Jezebel, that led the people into idolatry, worshiping Baal, Jezebel killed many, many prophets of the Lord God. They also led Israel into legalized prostitution with the priestesses of the goddess Astarte. And so these two people, Ahab and Jezebel, led the kingdom of Israel into abject moral and spiritual corruption and decay. And so when Elijah brought down God's judgment upon them and condemned them for sinfulness and wickedness and immorality, Ahab said, "You're the troubler of Israel." He was hunted down for 3 years. Jezebel swore by her gods that she would put him to death. Elijah's ministry was not an easy ministry. But all that rebuking and pointing to the Lord God, Jehovah, as the only God of Israel, bore fruit. Before Elijah was taken into heaven, and he was really in a low point in his life and thought he was the only one left, the Lord said, "There are still 7,000 people in Israel who believe in me." In our text this morning, we hear of Elijah's last days. Somehow the Lord had revealed, not only to Elijah and Elisha, but to others, that he would be taken by the Lord. Elijah knew it. And it happened that as they were walking along, Elijah told Elisha to stay back in Gilgal. And he said, "No, I'm going to follow you." So he went to Bethel and then to Jericho and visited other prophets, sons of the prophets. And both times Elijah told Elisha, "Please stay here." Elijah thought that he was going to be alone when the Lord took him. But Elisha refused. His desire to be with Elijah was not just a morbid curiosity to see how it was all going to end. He wanted to serve his friend, his compatriot, whom he was assistant to, but he also wanted to be the successor to Elijah. As the two of them made their way down to the Jordan River, a miraculous thing happened. Elijah took off that black mantle, that coat that he wore, which was his trademark sign, rolled it up, smacked the Jordan River, and it parted in two. And they walked across on dry ground. Just as we read, it was good for Peter, James, and John to be there and see the glory of Christ, or the glory of God in Christ in his transfiguration. So now it was good for those 50 prophets and also for Elijah to see God's glory shining upon Elijah, giving him this ability to do this miracle as they parted the Red Sea, or the Jordan River. Elijah and Elisha walked on the east side of the Jordan River, and Elisha asked Elijah, for a double blessing of his spirit. It wasn't because Elisha wanted to be twice as important, twice as smart, twice as famous, twice as popular as Elijah was. He was asking for the blessing of the firstborn. For the firstborn in Hebrew law would get twice as much as the other sons. And Elisha knew there were other prophets that were in Israel of the Lord, but he had been called to be the second to Elijah. And he wanted to have the same spirit, the same strength, the same ability, the same courage that Elijah had. What he wanted was the glory of a believer's life in service to the Lord. But that wasn't Elijah's to give. That's only a gift the Holy Spirit can impart. Only the Holy Spirit can impart those spiritual blessings upon us. And so while they were walking and talking, suddenly a fiery chariot and fiery horses come down from heaven, separates the two, and a whirlwind ushers Elijah up into heaven, and he's gone. Thus, Elijah was transformed. He was glorified in the blink of an eye. Changed from a mortal being to immortal, from corruption to incorruption, from dishonor to glory, from weakness to power, from perishable to imperishable, from the glory of living as a servant to the Lord in this kingdom to the victorious glory of serving and living with the Lord in the eternal kingdom of heaven. What a glorious departure for the child of God. In both the transfiguration of Jesus and the glorious ascension of Elijah into heaven, we have a foretaste of heaven. We have a foretaste of what it'll be like with glorious, resurrected, perfect, righteous, holy bodies, just like Jesus. Elijah's departure into glory was because he was prepared with faith in the Lord and in his Savior. Few of us have the privilege of knowing exactly when our end is going to come. None of us know what day we're going to die. Elijah knew his departure was that day. But yet the Lord says to us that we should not look upon or love the things of this world. We should be strangers and pilgrims on this earth. We have no continuing city. We have no home of our own here. Our real citizenship is in heaven. We should take our eyes off of this dying, sin-filled, corrupt world and keep our eyes and our desires focused upon our heavenly home. This is only a temporary home we have here. Our love should be for the love of the Father in Christ Jesus and our home in heaven. For then and only then can we be prepared for the day when the Lord will call us in our death or maybe being lifted up in the clouds when Christ comes again on Judgment Day. Elijah was prepared for this departure through faith in Jesus, and he showed it by spending his life in serving his Savior as a very, very faithful servant. And that should be said about every single one of us too. That doesn't mean that you will have to become pastors or public school teachers, but the Lord says all of you are ministers, meaning servants. You're all servants of God. You've all been called to proclaim the message of salvation, to tell others about Jesus. The reason God created you and left you on this earth after he created faith in your heart was for you to serve him, to give glory to him. And even though it may not always seem so, the life of service to Jesus is always, always glorious. Even if it's hard, like Elijah's. Elijah's ministry performed quite a few miracles. We heard the one where he took off that mantle, rolled it up, struck the water, parted the river. Ground was dry already. That mantle was a representation of God. This was God's power that gave Moses to do this miracle. And we find that Elisha received the same ability. When Elijah was taken up in the chariot and the whirlwind, he dropped his mantle. Elisha picked it up, carried to the Jordan River. He too rolled up the mantle, struck the river, and it parted again, showing that the Lord God had indeed given to Elisha the same power and strength and courage and ability, the same calling to be the next great prophet of Israel. He gave him the same spirit, the spirit of a faithful child of God, desiring to live for the Lord and proclaim his word. You know, that same spirit is given to you and to me, not to perform physical miracles, but the same spirit through the word of God is given to you and to me to tell other people about Jesus. Every time the word of God is proclaimed and there's a conversion, a change takes place. A heart is changed from unbelief to faith, from despair to hope, from purposelessness to a meaningful life, from death to life, from sin to righteousness, from serving self to serving Christ. So you and I too can perform miracles. We can perform miracles when we preach or teach or say the word of God to people, and there's a miracle of conversion, or the healing of souls, or the raising of the spiritually dead, or transforming of hearts. When Elijah was being taken away in that whirlwind, Elisha cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. He was not talking about the spiritual chariot, the fiery horses. He was talking about Elijah. It was the horsemen and the chariots that defended and kept safe the Israelites. Elijah saying, Elijah, you were the horsemen in the chariot of Israel because of your protecting us through God's word. We know that because when Elisha died years later, the people said, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So, I ask you this morning, are you a chariot? Are you a horseman for Israel, for God's kingdom? Jesus uses different terms in the New Testament. He says, you are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. Salt is a preservative in the Old Testament to keep things preserved. So the word of God, when we proclaim it, preserves souls. Light, of course, lights the way. So when we proclaim the gospel, we light the way of salvation to people so they know Jesus Christ as their Savior. A light that burns out, like the one just did there, it's worthless. Salt that loses saltiness, its preservability, is worthless. Being brought to faith by God's grace, we are left in this world for a time to be just like Elijah, just like Elisha, to be the horseman and the chariot of Israel, to proclaim the word of God to others, the wonderful salvation of Jesus. You parents, proclaim it to your children. Friends to other friends. Classmates to classmates. Workers to your fellow workers. To your neighbors. That's our calling. You know, our own society is pretty comparable to the day of Elijah. We have leaders who put on a pretty moral, outward-looking thing, but they're not very moral in their words, their actions. Our world is filled with idolatry in the shape of chrome and steel and green paper and investments. Our world is also has gross immorality, seeps into our home and our TVs, our radios, technology. Our real enemy is not the nations out there, but it's within our own borders. In fact, it's within our own hearts. It's within our own bodies. It's our sinful, selfish, sin-filled heart. We're daily taught, and the world preaches every day, you are the most important person in your life. Do your own thing. Live for yourself. Really, the only one that really matters in this life is you. Our only defense is continually hearing the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that our sin-sick hearts have been washed clean with Christ's shed blood. And soon, the world will see us no more. We'll be taken away by the Lord. But until then, we need to remember that we are the chariots and the horsemen of Israel, God's kingdom. We're the salt and the light of this world to proclaim the good news of Jesus in our homes, in our church, in our society. The Apostle Paul says this about us, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The departure of Elijah was indeed a painful loss for Elisha, but a great gain for Elijah, glorious eternal life. The same can be said of every single child of God, every single believer in Christ who's died. The brothers and sisters who've lost a loved one, pain and suffering as they carry on in the work in this world. But for the believer, what a great blessing. Everlasting life in heaven. And so when we close our eyes in the sleep of death, after a glorious life of serving the Lord, we too will be have the angels usher our soul into heaven. And someday our body will be resurrected and glorified and shine just like Jesus. As your pastor, my firm prayer for every single one of you, and those of you also watching, is that you too will be prepared for that coming, when the Savior comes to you. That you'll be like Elijah, and later on Elisha, ready and prepared for the Lord's calling by being that horseman and the chariot of Israel, daily proclaiming the good news of forgiveness, life, and salvation. And then when death comes, you can depart victorious and be escorted by the heavenly hosts into the heavenly kingdom. For after all, that's really the only one purpose and goal for us believers in Jesus. Heaven is attainable only by Jesus. Amen. Let's rise. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep our hearts and minds centered in our glorified Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.